You're listening to a Radio 191 FM podcast.
I'm joined over several thousand kilometres. Well, I'm not actually sure how far away, but I'm joined from Nam by the one, the only, Dudley Benson. Good afternoon, Dudley. How are we?
Kia ora, Zach. I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on today.
I want to begin this conversation on a bit of a serious note. You've been a lifelong activist, and you've transported that voice from Aotearoa into now Melbourne, where you continue to be a massive advocate for Palestine. Now, I've heard and seen in Melbourne that police have used flashbang grenades and other heavy-handed tactics in clashes with protesters. So I want to know, what's the sort of state of resistance there? What's the role of police in that resistance? And is the resistance pretty active still?
Yeah, my experience mainly is as someone on the ground every Sunday at the rallies that support Palestine in the centre of the city. And a few hundred, sometimes thousand people show up. It's a really powerful energy to be part of. What shocked me, though, moving from Aotearoa to here 2 years ago, which was around just after October 7th, was the disproportionate amount of policing around these rallies. Like, truly, it's shocking. Mm. So many police on horseback with big shields.
With guns?
Those rubber bullets and... Yeah, and those really loud exploding gas canisters. It's just so extreme and completely unnecessary, because the rallies are always consistently really peaceful. It's as if they've just hired too many police and they have to give them something to do. More recently, there's been a strong anti-immigration vibe in Australia, and neo-Nazis have been organising rallies to kind of disseminate this sort of sentiment that immigrants are taking away jobs and housing from Australians. That's been unfortunate, because it has convinced some people to start rallying at the same time, on the same day, as we have our Palestine rallies. And there's been a kind of a very palpable tension in the city centre of Melbourne every Sunday now between the what's called the March for Australia, which is really just white supremacists, plus people who have been convinced to come along by them, and then the Palestine rallies. That's where the police really, really get in on it, and things amp up a lot.
I saw a report in ABC News that there have been something like 24,000 shifts for police over the course of a year at the Palestine rallies, and it's costing the city like millions of dollars to put them out.
Yeah, I'm not surprised to hear that.
Before we get talking about the song, I promise we'll talk about the song. you and Josh Thomas started Woof Bar in 2020, and although you're based in Melbourne now, you still curate the music for Woof. How do you decide on what to play? What makes for a good track at a bar like Woof?
I've learned that playing music in a bar is not just about playing the music that I like or that I would play at home. Sure, there's a little bit of crossover, but actually, it's not about being cool and trying to tap into what might be vibey at the moment on TikTok or anything like that. It's really just about what's fun, what's the feeling, and the woof energy is fun. It should be fun. It should be slightly escapist. It should allow you to, I don't know, extend yourself somehow a little bit. Maybe there's going to be something in the playlist that makes you feel like you're not in Dunedin. These are the kind of things I'm thinking about with the playlisting. And look, yeah, I do playlist for how many days is Woof open? Wednesday to Sunday. So what's that? You should know. is that 5 days
that
a week?
That's five days.
5 days a week. So it's a lot of playlisting. And I don't always get it right. But if you're at Woof, if you're listening to this and you're at Woof and you hear something you don't like, please tell Violet. She will give you a nasty grimace.
One thing I've always admired about your playlisting is just that it's so much range. There's like R&B, there's hip-hop, there's country trap, there's soul music, there is a little bit of rock music, there's some ambient experimental stuff. You've got Anoni on the play. Like, you've got so many different vibes, and they all coalesce really well, which has been pretty impressive.
Thank you,
Let's get talking about the song now, Purerehua. One thing I immediately noticed, and I think it's pretty hard not to notice, is that there's lots of Little Mermaid imagery on the cover and the branding for this thing, and I want to know, why is that?
I always think really carefully about the artwork that accompanies my music. It's like, for me, it's almost just as important as the music itself. I get a lot of joy in collaborating with visual artists. It's almost as if I labour in this quite dissonant and sometimes really unpleasant way with the music itself. Like, it can be a real drag for me making music. It's hard work. Mm. It's not fun. Finally, when it's ready to share with a visual artist, that's when I get a lot of joy. And in the case of Purerehua, the whole project actually came out of a conversation with the painter Ayesha Green, who's been based in Otapoti sometimes. She's Kaitahu and Ngāti Kahunganu, currently based in Bangkok. And Ayesha and I have had a collaborative relationship in the past too. Anyway, we were really talking about how Luxon, Seymour, when this coalition came in, they were really adamant on taking te reo Māori away from government departments, school books, and we wanted to express our frustration at that anti-Māori sentiment. So Purerehua was a song that I had kind of in my archives and hadn't released, and Ayesha at the time had just painted the Disney figures that you're talking about that we eventually used in the cover. What she's about is, for that show, was displacing traditional characters that we associate with the Little Mermaid, like that fish Flounder and then Eric, and taking them away from that Disney context and putting them in a world in which colonization is creating some kind of deep sadness and loss for these characters.
You can see that in the text on the cover where Ariel's saying to Eric, people can be so cruel. The Māori language is a special treasure. Why can't they see that? Which is rings very true.
Rings very true. And yeah, there's something about these images, the painting on the cover of the 7-inch, that's just really moving to me. It's such loss, it's such grief. Is Eric dead that she's whispering this, people are so cruel to? Or is she saying it with hope? It's so hard to know.
Purerehua itself is actually a 50-year-old waiata originally composed by the musician and activist Hirini Melbourne. And you mentioned before it's been in the vault for some time for you. I think it was 2010s-ish is when you maybe originally recorded it. I want to know, what made you revisit this track? And why is it radio complete now in ways that it might not have been back over a decade ago?
It's funny, I've made 3 albums, and usually there's 1 or 2 songs that don't go onto those records. They get a bit lost and orphaned and forgotten about. Every now and then, for some reason, I'm reminded of one of these songs, and I might dig out the archives, the old HDs, and see if it's still around. When Ayesha and I were talking about what can we do at this time when that kind of KKK vibe of the current government is like seeping through into their policy, what can we do? That was when I thought, oh man, I've got Purerehua. I didn't put that on my record of Hidden Melbourne covers, which I put out, as you said, in 2010, because I was a real purist at the time. And on that album, they were all my versions of his bird waiata. Purerehua is about the butterfly and caterpillar. So I was like, well, obviously I can't put this on the album. But I did play it live on the tour, and a lot of people expressed to me at the time how much they loved Purerehua.
It's funny you mentioned the KKK, because I recently saw a comment on Instagram calling this government the Blue Lux Clan.
That is pretty apt, I reckon. People in the clan, white supremacists don't, as we all know, don't wear hoods, they wear suits.
Princess Chelsea has remixed this single, and I heard on the press release for this that Eyeliner, ALCS and Amamelia are also doing remixes, is that correct?
Yeah, I've all got these remixes ready to drop. The Eyeliner remix is out next week, and the others I'm going to be sharing over time.
Cool. The big reason why they've all come to collaborate is because there's a shared recognition that this government is trampling on te reo and Indigenous rights. You know, has our reputation as a sort of leader on human and Indigenous rights, New Zealand I'm speaking of, has that tanked quite a lot from conversations that you've had in Melbourne? Do people think lesser of New Zealand with this new government coming in?
I would say that people don't really think about us terribly much.
Really? That's brutal.
Yeah, it's a bit brutal. We don't tend to, you know, as people in New Zealand, we think a lot about Australia and we talk a lot about Australia and we have our inferiority complex, I think. We're really always like, oh, Australians, so cringe or painful or whatever. And then I moved over here and I realised they don't really think about us that much at all. They don't care too much. And the thoughts that they do have are benevolent. They think that we're lovely people and have a gorgeous country. A bit like very useful pot plants is how they say it.
Very ornamental.
Yeah, nice to have. Nice to have New Zealanders around. And so I don't know really whether what the current government is doing has had an impact on our international image. Certainly in Australia, Indigenous rights are absolutely wrecked and almost non-existent. And that's not to take away from the people who are working really hard to achieve that. But I think that the discourse here around any country's Indigenous rights is already at a starting place of deep compromise.
There's one glimmer of hope that you're doing with this song. Proceeds from this track will go to the non-profit Manaaki Collective. Why did you decide to use them as sort of an NGO trust for activism purposes?
I like the Manaaki Collective. They don't have a big profile, but what they do and why it's important to support them, and people can support them by buying a 7-inch vinyl of Pūrere Hua. They're on my website. There's still some left. They're $30. This is for a yellow edition 7-inch with sticker sheets by Ayesha Green and the Princess Chelsea remix on the B-side. There we go, I've plugged it. Proceeds of sales from that will go to the Manaaki Collective. And what they do is, if there is a left-wing activist who has put themselves forward to raise awareness or engage in resistance against far-right genders, and that activist, for whatever reason, is in danger or is targeted, that's when the Manaaki Collective come in and they offer support, travel, safe accommodation, personal security for that activist. I've supported them before in fundraising projects. They really need the support. They're not a big name and they remain anonymous so that they can continue to do what they do.
I want to touch on the sound that you're working in with Pūrere Hua, because it's very bright, and I don't know if it's from seeing the Little Mermaid imagery, but it always feels kind of aquatic. In your press releases, you say that you blend elements of pop, choral, classical, and electronic music. Now, Pūrere Hua is definitely very electronic-y and poppy. Are you still working in the sort of classic choral worlds as much?
Not really these days. Pūrere Hua is my first song in a while.
And it's 7 years, I think.
I should have had 2 albums out in that time. I'm not really in the zone right now, Zach, in terms of music I'm working on at the moment, of being choral, classically influenced. I've done a lot of that work. The record that I'm making at the moment is really not that at all. I think there is a choir on one song, but the rest of it, I've really shifted my focus to beat making, and melody is there, but it's sort of not quite as much of on the agenda as getting the body moving.
It's more dancey.
Yeah, I hope so. The thing is, I've never made a dance record, and I'm really interested and a little bit anxious about when I put it out, just whether people want to dance to it or not. I really, really don't know. I've done a lot of close analysis of my favourite dance records and tried to emulate some of their great ideas, but I just don't know. I just don't know. It's also an album about grief, and I don't want to say too much more about it. I don't know about dancing to grief. I'm not sure.
Well, funnily enough, I just had a yarn with Death and the Maiden folks today, and their whole purpose is like making sad music you can dance to. So I'm sure there's something you can kind of operate within that field.
And I'm aware that maybe there's something going on with the Otapoti musician making dance music to like loss and mourning. I like that.
Well, I was going to say, if you're putting it out and you're not sure what you want to do, you could put it out under your pseudonym DJ Trash Humper. But maybe if it's about grief and it's a bit serious, I might not really fit that vibe.
Zach, you're all over it. You've got the idea. I like this.
Well, can people expect to hear any details about when you might release that? Are we expecting a 2026 release?
Yeah, I'm expecting a 2026 release of the album. I'm not sure when, but it's taken me 8 years to make this record, and it's highly collaborative. There are a lot of wonderful other musicians on there. And if anything, I owe it to them to finish the damn thing. but yeah, I really look forward to putting it out.
I look forward to hearing it. Thanks for your time and coming on the program today. I really appreciate it. Do you have any final words or thoughts you'd like to leave us with?
No, just go Radio 1. Truly, always been a wonderful station. I love what you guys do, and thank you for supporting my work and the work of other Aotearoa musicians.
We love you too, Dudley. Thank you so much.
All right, gang, that was the chat I had with Dudley Benson on Friday last week about his new release, Pūre Rehua. You heard all the details. I don't need to explain anything about the song. Let's play it. Let's play the song, and then we'll do a little bit more talking, and then we'll play another song, and that'll be it for today. Here's Dudley Benson with Pūre Rehua. It's 10:47. You're listening to The One. See you soon.
A Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.